I'll be honest. Theoretically speaking, we are at an impasse. But nobody leaves these studios today until we come to a decision.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. Happy hump day to you. Wednesday here on Theoretically Speaking. Myself, Theo Dorsey, kicking it with you. Fresh off a morning of, I was watching, actually judging a bunch of area kids here in Palm Beach County bust some moves. This dance-a-thon that we were able to judge. A lot of entertainment there. That was some fun. So the energy's high today. And we got C-Cat on the ones and twos on the other side of the glass. He's going to need all of his energy today as we come together as a collective here on Theoretically Speaking. I mean, can you believe this? We're now 50 days away from the kickoff to the NFL season. We're 50 days away from, I mean, really, if you ask me, the top two quarterbacks in the NFL coming together for a big-time showdown when the Chiefs and Ravens kick off on September 5th. You know, we were always taught, never look a gift horse in the mouth. And that sticks with me, C-Cat. That sticks with me. Partially because I don't understand what it means. If a horse has a gift for me, do I have to turn my head before I gracefully take that gift and accept it? I don't know. I don't get that much. But what I can say is it is a gift, a beautiful present, what the schedule makers in the NFL gave us with September 5th, Thursday night kickoff, the defending, two-time defending champion Kansas City Chiefs, my favorite team, taking on the Baltimore Ravens, the AFC runner-up, C-Cat's favorite team.
Yeah.
So that in itself is a great pairing. It'll be a rematch of the AFC Championship game. If you ask me, because here on Theoretically Speaking, yesterday we decided, we entered the studio and said, we're going to figure out for our show, for our own morals, who the number two quarterback in the NFL is behind Patrick Mahomes. If you ask me, Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes is the two best quarterbacks going up against each other. But then C-Cat, the Ravens fan, had so much just literal, like, he was like a force yesterday. We argued more off the air than we even had a chance to on the show about whether or not Josh Allen was a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. Crazy stuff yesterday.
Yeah, we get off the air at 6 p.m. I didn't get home until 10:30 last night. Like, my girlfriend was wondering where I was, and I told her, I'm sorry. I'm standing on my morals. I'm arguing with Theo Dorsey about who is the second best quarterback in the NFL. She said, are you on the air? I said, no.
Not at all.
Just hanging out.
Not even for content. No. This literally dominated both of our evenings. Even when I left the show, I got calls from friends that were watching the show that were like, yo, what the hell? What gives this guy who sports today a Ravens cap? You've been with the Raven flock, I'm guessing, since you were a little kid out in New York growing up. And you are so just, I mean, you're rooting for the days of Joe Flacco to come back to Baltimore as much as you seem to be against Lamar Jackson. So we're going to get into that, but can we at least both agree right here on wax so we cannot go against that? Before we end this show today at 6 o'clock, we will decide as a show entering the NFL season, we got 50 days until kickoff, who the number two quarterback in the league is, just so we can start to figure out that prism in which we'll guide and take in the season this year.
I'll virtually shake your hand on that.
There we go.
We will do that. Handshake, shake, shake, shake.
Somebody's got to give, and hopefully we will have Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, who you hear here 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. On ESPN 106.3 every day. We will have him later on. Maybe he can help us decide, but we do have to just jump straight into that for right now. Lamar Jackson, who sits on a throne of two MVPs, who has a couple of all pros to his name, but definitely has not been a guy that is, dare I say, elevating his game in the postseason. He has shown a lot of flaws when it comes to the January games out there in Baltimore versus a guy like Josh Allen, who has elevated his game in the postseason, but not won at the level you would want for a player that's looking to be elite. At least we all can come to an agreement. The number one quarterback in the NFL is Patrick Mahomes. The list that sparked this debate yesterday, and by the way, they came out with their top 10 wide receivers list, Tyreek Hill at number two. I actually love that. The list that sparked this debate was ESPN, which for the fifth year, they got all the executives, coaches, and scouts together, 80-plus people voting on the top 10 players at each position. They released quarterback yesterday, receiver was today, and they got many more to come. But when that list came out, I was at awe that Lamar Jackson fell in at number 4. It goes Patrick Mahomes 1, Joe Burrow 2, Josh Allen 3, Lamar Jackson 4, and Matthew Stafford, Super Bowl champion Matthew Stafford 5. So I was at awe with how low the reigning MVP ranked on that list. But you, C-Cat, felt it was more proper. You probably had more of an issue with Joe Burrow being ranked over Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, I think you take all those people you mentioned who were executives, coaches, and scouts who they wanted to be their QB1 on their team. Number one, obviously, Pat Mahomes. And more people would rightly decide that they would prefer Josh Allen to be their franchise quarterback because he gives so much more versatility to their offense. They don't have to build their team around Josh Allen. They do not have to cater to his strengths. No, they let his strength prosper in whichever way they want to use him.
So it's funny you say that, because in your defense right there of your pick of Josh Allen, which I still would say, I don't know how a guy that has had literally less success. I mean, if you had both of these guys retire today, which one of them actually has a shot? If not even just a shot, literally already probably has a ticket into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and that would be number 8 for the Baltimore Ravens. But again, you know, I digress on that point. I got Lamar Jackson at number 2. You've got Josh Allen. We even put a poll out yesterday, and it was split. I think there was a hair of a vote that was split between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, 35% to 34% in favor of Josh Allen. But I did feel like there was one thing that we kind of skipped over that we do need to address today. Everybody knows me, Theo, as, you know, quote-unquote bandwagon fan, right? Like, I'm a fair-weather guy. I'm a little bit more casual. People hate the fact that I'm a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs and I departed from the Carolina Panthers. Womp, womp, womp. Not getting into any of all of that. But for the first time here on Theoretically Speaking, some months into our show, C-Cat, your NFL fandom came into question. And in a very hefty way, if you look at the YouTube comments, so I want to be able to give you this opportunity now to defend yourself.
Yes, uh-huh.
We're going to take this to court because for you, C-Cat, you're a guy who is a Baltimore Ravens fan through and through. You also seem to have an issue with Lamar Jackson's quarterback play for your team and potentially just you don't think he's a top, what, 3 or 4 guy in the league right now.
I love Lamar Jackson. There are a lot of teams in this league. Not a lot of great quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson's a great quarterback. Lamar Jackson also is not a better quarterback than Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. He's also not a better quarterback than Joe Burrow. I don't think Lamar Jackson is a top 3 quarterback in the NFL. I'm happy he's on the Ravens, but there's limitations here. And why have great when you can have generational? Give me generational.
Wow. So Lamar Jackson also not generational in the eyes of C-Cat. Here's a couple of the YouTube comments. KevPro747 says that dude is not a Ravens fan.
I'm smart, sorry.
How about Chris Childs 368? In response to C-Cat picking Josh Allen over his own quarterback, Lamar Jackson, as number 2 in the NFL, it says the fake Raven fan is definitely a hater.
Shut up, Chris. Like, what does he know?
And what about this? Here's Eric Wallen, who apparently has some kind of stake in the Ravens, because he says, tell him he's kicked out of Ravens Nation with that terrible take.
Listen, I demand better. I don't want to just make the AFC Championship game. I want to win the darn thing, and I want to play in Super Bowls like Joe Flacco brought us there.
Oh! So the guy that Lamar Jackson supplanted in Joe Flacco, you just want a return of eliteness at your quarterback position, and you want Super Bowls like what Josh Allen has delivered for the Buffalo Bills. We all get it.
You swap head coaches, by the way. And John Harbaugh, with Josh Allen, is going to Super Bowls, maybe even winning the game.
So you're making a lot of assumptions on these things. You also yesterday said Lamar Jackson, if you put him on any team in the league,
yeah,
that I guess is not a non-playoff team, he would not be able to raise that team's level enough to be a playoff contender. Whereas if you do the same exercise with Josh Allen, you believe he would be able to do so.
Yeah, we saw it happen. We saw it quite literally happen.
When?
With the Bills. Before Stephon Diggs got there, he brought that team to playoffs.
And then he threw the ball backwards.
Listen, we all learned
things. And he completely threw up all over himself.
Freshman mistakes. He got it to him in Houston.
Yeah, that's
right. What can I say?
So again, for C-Cat, I do want you to offer up this position right here, and I'll be able to judge it whether or not you broke any kind of fan rules. I do want to establish some order right here. Are you still a Ravens fan? Can you still consider yourself a Ravens fan through and through while you have a elite quarterback, a guy who is in the ranks of literally, I mean, I don't think there's ever been a person to win two MVPs and not become a Hall of Famer. You have that kind of guy on your roster, but you're staunchly against him in favor of another AFC quarterback, two of them, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. So, C-Cat, just one time, for how can we consider you a Ravens fan still if you don't have faith in your own guy at the signal caller position?
First and foremost, I want to plead not guilty, by the way. I'm not guilty of being a fake Ravens fan. I am a Ravens fan, and I think Josh Allen is a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. So I can stand that because individual awards are nice and good and plenty when you're talking Hall of Fame cases. I want to talk about winning football games when it matters. And the eye test and the results I'm getting when it matters most with Lamar Jackson, it looks ugly, man. You see, Josh Allen loses some of those games, don't get me wrong, but he does not look like he's holding his team back when he does that. And when you look at the arm of Lamar Jackson, we saw it in his last data point, AFC Championship game, one of the worst throws I've ever seen in my life. I will not let America forget the throw into triple coverage that he was trying to hit Isaiah Likely. I will not let them forget that. Last data point, Lamar Jackson held back the Ravens.
Time for me to make a decision here based on whether or not C-Cat is offending his own fan sensibilities. And I'll give you this, because I said this, I feel like last week on the show, fans are in their place, not just to be, you know, yes men, but to demand better, to hold your team to a higher level of accountability. So I'll give you a point in that direction. I do still believe you are a Ravens fan, but what I've gathered from all of this, you're just a Lamar Jackson hater. And I'm okay with that. I think you can be both, right? But you're kind of disregarding somebody who has proven himself at every level since he stepped into that starting position for the Baltimore Ravens. And you're also doing it a lot based on a couple of throws against the best pass defense in the league in the Kansas City Chiefs. If Josh Allen had a Super Bowl ring, or if Joe Burrow had a Super Bowl ring, I would understand you a little bit more. But it's a Patrick Mahomes-dominated league. And when he loses in the AFC Championship game against that guy and that team, I don't think that's enough to discredit him based on career accolades so far as the number two quarterback in the league.
Go to break.
We have to go to break because we got Evan Cohen coming up. He'll help decide it, you know, again, what we came here for in the first place. C-Cat's Ravens fandom, that's still intact. I'm not against that, right? I mean, he's a little bit fair weather. He's just a little bit of a Lamar hater at the moment. We'll get him on the other side of that, but we'll bring in Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike to help us decide once and for all who is the actual number two quarterback in the league and going forward, how that can shake. Theoretically speaking, on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Championships, that's how you elevate yourself if you're trying to be one of the great quarterbacks, a top five quarterback in the game. There's not many left with Super Bowls, not that Tom Brady retired. There is a campus here in West Palm Beach that's, I mean, synonymous with winning championships, and that is Kaiser University. I mean, the Kaiser Seahawks now have 22 national titles, including back-to-back championships in men's lacrosse, three straight in NAIA women's swimming and diving, and, of course, that football squad, the Kaiser Seahawks, the reigning NAIA national champions. Can't wait to see what Miles Russ has in store for year one as he starts off as the head coach there. KU's also got 61 regular season and 63 conference tournament titles. For all the latest on Kaiser Seahawks athletics, KUSeahawks.com. Tap in with them as they hashtag defend the beach. We continue here on a Wednesday on Theoretically Speaking. C-Cat and myself, Theo Dorsey. We just got out of the first segment. We've established C-Cat still is, yes, a Ravens fan. But we are still puzzled with how, as we try and decide here for a show, who the number two quarterback in the NFL is. I went with Lamar Jackson, C-Cat, a Ravens fan. he went with Josh Allen. And to help settle this debate, because we're not leaving the studio until we do, we bring in Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. weekdays here on ESPN 106.3 with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman. Evan, first and foremost, this is a wellness check, man. I haven't heard any of your takes lately. What's happening?
So off from the show this week, not off in general. I'm obviously going to be on with you and obviously doing a bunch of other stuff. But, yeah, we've been off from the show this week. And I was thinking about this. This is a fascinating question and a fascinating trial, the trial of CCAT, the trial of the century going on right now. There's two things. One, if we had this conversation a week ago, I know our buddy Dr. Goldhaber would be in there saying Daniel Jones,
oh my
second best goodness. Quarterback in the NFL, is what he would say. So shout out to Goldhaber. Of course, Goldhaber sinus. Treating ENT, ear, nose, and throat patients in Florida for over 20 years, or over 25, sorry. We know what happens when I get that wrong
right.
with him. 561-734-3636, Boynton Beach area, corner of Boynton Boulevard, and, of course, Jog Road. He's got a state-of-the-art office. He can help with everything, ear, nose, and throat. He's been doing it for over 25 years. Shout out to Dr. Goldhaber, 561-734-3636. Now, for the question at hand, can I do it you guys in terms of the questions here? So, CCAT, when you look at the quarterback position and you look at resume, right? Because Theo, I want to make sure I'm getting this right. We're talking about second best quarterback in the league, combination of resume and what they're going to do this year, correct?
Yes.
Because, like, Aaron Rodgers, resume-wise, is ridiculous, obviously, but I don't know that we're going to look at him as right now the second best quarterback in the league. So it's got to be a little combination of second best with resume and future performance with this year. So, CK, what do you look at relative to resume? Like, what's on the top line of the resume for you? If you're picking Josh Allen, it means it's not titles and it's not MVPs.
I look at a lot of eye test. I think that to get into the top 10 quarterbacks, you look at their complete body of work, regular season and playoffs. When you come to splitting hairs in the top five, it's about your postseason performances, how you've looked in those games, and how close you have been to winning those games.
But you have Josh Allen, too.
I think Josh Allen has looked better despite not having the exact success of Lamar Jackson in the postseason, yes.
Yeah, but based on that logic, shouldn't Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts be, too?
I think it's so close that it's what have you done for me lately with Joe Burrow. If he puts together a good season, is in the AFC Championship game this year again, I think Joe Burrow would make the jump to number two for me. Jalen Hurts, I think, is the product of that offense, the success that he had in his first year. That's where I would put Jalen Hurts a little bit further back in the Brock Purdy conversation.
Ooh. Not necessarily.
That was a shot at Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's not the wrong guy to say the Brock Purdy conversation, because Evan thinks that guy's like a top three quarterback right now.
Well, but I'm not saying that, but at least Brock Purdy has a Super Bowl appearance. Like, I think where you went now, okay, there's so many elements to this. Where you went, Theo, is where I would go simply based on I look at that top line, Super Bowl and MVP. Well, the guys who have recently been in Super Bowls, Purdy, you mentioned, Burrow is not there yet, too early. Burrow, let's be honest, may end up being that, but is always hurt. You know, you're going to leave Flacco out of it, obviously. Rodgers, we just discussed. Hurts, we just discussed. Stafford, I probably wouldn't put there. He's in the top 10, but he's not there. Who else are we? Who else
Jared
are we
Goff.
Getting here in terms of
Jared Goff made a Super Bowl.
Goff. Yep.
But the list is now much more thin, obviously, with the departure of Tom Brady. So it
right.
It I here's the thing though. If you're looking at trying to figure out who's number two in the league right now, you're right. There's a lot of guys that have a lot more to prove than there are guys that have had a long list or a long resume. Like, most of these guys are 27 years old or younger, and Mahomes has been winning all of the Super Bowls. But I think that's why I defer to the fact that Lamar Jackson has dominated regular seasons. He's looked good enough to win playoff games at times, and now he's looked better than ever as a passer after a year under Todd Monken and that new offense. So it feels clear-cut that the guy with two MVPs should be above the other guys that don't have championships, and it seems like that's similar to the route you were taking, Evan.
Exactly right. Now, I will tell you, and I think you know this, I have been very anti-Josh Allen for the last however many years. I am not feeling that way for this year. I actually kind of like what they've done here because they've made it his team. And I think Steph Diggs not being there is a win-win-win for everybody involved. I think it's a win for the Bills. I think it's a win for Allen. I actually think it's a win for the Texans in year one because he's going to have something to prove with Stroud. So like, I think everybody wins. But as we sit here today, I think Lamar is the answer. I mean, he's a two-time MVP on a really good team that was in the AFC title game last year. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. What you are doing, which is fascinating, is you are now debating whether or not C-Cat is really a Ravens fan, because it's not like I'm sitting here saying that Khalil Ware, because he had a great summer league game today for the
awesome,
Heat, is the best center in the league, right? That's an absurd take. You're saying, again, correct me if I'm wrong, Theo, that it is so easy for C-Cat to say his quarterback is second best because it's not a leap, and he's still not doing it, that you have to question his overall fandom.
Yes. And again, Evan Cohen joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, Theo Dorsey and C-Cat right there, Ravens fans sporting the Ravens hat. I do think that because there is such a strong and compelling argument in favor for Lamar Jackson, and the fact that he is the one that has the highest list, like if all of these guys we're talking about today retired, Lamar will be the only one that has a Hall of Fame case. So those things included.
Wait, stop there. Hold on. That's a great one. Edit, the football ends today.
Yeah.
Okay? Rodgers to the side. Stafford potentially to the side. Younger guys. Mahomes is in. Is Josh Allen in?
In the Hall of Fame? I don't think so. I would say absolutely not. He's never reached the Super Bowl.
How many quarterbacks are in the Hall of Fame that have never been to a Super Bowl and never won an MVP?
I wouldn't. That was a good list to look up. I do know that there's nobody that's ever won two MVPs and didn't make the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and that's the era that Lamar Jackson is in.
Yeah, Lamar is definitively going to be a Hall of Famer. Definitively going to be a Hall of Famer. Is there a quarterback that never went to a Super Bowl and never won a Hall of won an MVP that's in the Hall? Did Dan Fouts ever win an MVP? Look that up, CK.
Now he's got some homework as he also prepares to defend himself as a Ravens fan. But I mean, so Evan, you're a Heat fan like I am, and Bam Adebayo, when it comes to the Defensive Player of the Year conversation, of course there are some years in there where you could argue Marcus Smart was really good and he might have deserved it. There's years where you can argue Rudy Gobert was such a great rim defender and you can back that position a little bit. But if you're a Heat fan and you root for this team to win and you see how hard Bam Adebayo works on the defensive end and how versatile he is, I would think it would be sacrilegious to Heat culture if I asked a Heat fan over the past two or three years who should be DPOY and they didn't say Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a fascinating argument what you're making here is, and you're right. There are very few times in life that you would suggest that someone should enact their bias. And what you're actually angry about is that C-Cat is ignorantly not enacting bias.
Yeah.
And you'd like him to be biased.
Just a little bit. But here's the problem. Listen, so you might look at somebody else's relationship and say, what do you mean? She's doing everything for you. She's so supportive of you. She picks you up and drops you off from work. You don't know what happens if you're in that seat of that husband. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors with Lamar Jackson, getting my hopes up year after year after year and letting me down. His fault year after year after year. He has the best team in football last year. He's at home, had a golden opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, and it didn't happen.
C-Cat, do you think the Bills fans are sitting here saying, boy, Josh Allen, every game, never throws interception? He had 9 straight games, I believe, last year throwing an interception. What do you think? The Bills fan doesn't feel the same way as you right now?
They do not feel the same way about Josh Allen. They feel that way about their head coach and Sean McDermott and the staff. They are the only confident in Josh Allen, and they are unconfident in every other part of that team.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
I don't know about that. You might have went a little too far there. I think if you were asked a Bills fan, especially on Truth Serum, they're not that unshaken by Josh Allen's play. I still look back at the opener against the Jets, and everybody looks back on that game as, oh, that was the game Aaron Rodgers snapped his Achilles
point.
I look at that game as that's a game that the Bills should have walked all over the Jets, and Josh Allen completely threw that game away, which he did a few more times through the season.
Sue him. A week one loss.
Excellent point.
Come on.
No.
What do you want me to judge him off of?
No. No way. Wait a second. Theo just made a fantastic point. Guess what? A week one loss counts the same as a week 18 loss. And if you get the week one loss and you change that into a win, what does that do for the AFC standings last year? Because that loss is as bad of a loss in the NFL regular season last year as you're going to have. You're making it seem like Josh Allen is just this clutch gene kind of, he's like, he's Derek Jeter. I mean, my God, the guy throws tons of interceptions, and you're making it seem like he's just flawless.
It's like a grass is greener type situation.
I don't think that's fair.
So if you asked every head coach and every owner in the NFL which quarterback they would want to start their team with, not named Pat Mahomes, you think more would say Lamar Jackson than Josh Allen?
Well, I think when you bring the ownership into it, no, they would not say Lamar Jackson.
I think we witnessed that.
I mean, just saying on that one, and but that may be for another day. Yeah. But so I don't think that's fair. Here's the thing. I don't think if you said 32 coaches, you start your friend, every quarterback in the NFL is going to be 100% healthy for the next 3 years. Mahomes is off the board. Who do you want? Guess what? Neither of those two are going to be picked. Ooh. It's going to be Burrow.
It will be Burrow. I think some would go Stroud even. There might be some Jordan Love picks if we get Mike Tannenbaum in the mix. I don't know.
I tell you, there's going to be two others that I throw in the mix. I think Herbert's going to have a big year with Harbaugh. And if Trevor Lawrence is 100% healthy, I think he has a big year. I think the conversation we're having now could be very different a year from now.
You want to know what the key contributor to – these are three quarterbacks. I just want to point this out, and I know you probably have to go here soon, Evan. Three quarterbacks that Evan has renewed and restored faith in this year. Number one, Trevor Lawrence, who lost his number one guy this offseason, Calvin Ridley. Number two, Justin Herbert, who lost his number one wide receiver, Keenan Allen, this year. And then Josh Allen, who lost Stephon Diggs. I don't think this is a pro-these quarterback debate as much as it is a pro-I don't like receivers debate. Is that what's going on here, Evan?
And you just realize it? Don't make me into an NFL owner if that's what you're doing.
No. Anti-wide receiver debate because you have this Patriot bias.
I put that in perspective. Let me put that in the back pocket to use next week. I like that.
Oh, there you go.
So basically, the new theme for me is if a team loses their best wide receiver, I'll then like their quarterback for the next year. So if Diggs is off of the Texans after this year, I'm going to be very into Shroud in 2025, basically.
You will be the last person to jump aboard that bandwagon. But no, Evan, before we get you out of here, what's your cast? What's your vote on this one? We have to decide before we leave the studio going into the football season who the number two quarterback is. I'm assuming you said Lamar Jackson. You never discussed Joe Burrow.
I'm going to stay with Boynton Beach's own Lamar Jackson.
Got it. Evan has decided. We'll see if that's actually the decisive force there. Oh, and it sounds like we do have a concession from C-Cat here on Theoretically Speaking. History being made. Now you got to lean even further into Raven's flock there and defend your fandom. Evan.
Wait, Theo, very, very quickly. A one-word answer, C-Cat. I will give you on the Ravens, Allen or Lamar. Who do you want?
The team's built for Lamar, so I take Lamar and the Ravens right now, yes. But I would rather build the team with Josh Allen. It's more versatile. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
That was more than one word, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Evan, appreciate your time. We're looking forward to hearing you back on Sportsmanlike, man. All right, that was Evan Cohen on the Baptist Health Hotline, pulling up and helping us decide once and for all who that number two quarterback is. Now we can actually judge this NFL season the right way. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, they do it the right way. And if you're experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field, Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians in leading edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. That was a lot right there from Evan Cohen, who joins us weekly. Looking forward to getting to our favorite part of every day, which is the get around right around the corner. But at least we have it established. Mahomes, and then we got Jackson, and we'll figure out the rest of our top eight or so going into the season. Should we stop it at eight, go five? I mean, five is too, like, everybody's doing that.
Yeah, I think eight's a great number.
Yeah, like the great eight.
Mm-hmm.
The great eight. These are the eight quarterbacks we can establish are great, and that list can change week to week. So we'll be developing that throughout this NFL season. Can't wait until kickoff for that. Also can't wait for the get around. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
They say happy people are the ones who are also grateful. And I literally am full of gratitude, especially because I know that as I try and keep this golf game tuned up, I actually got some friends that want to play when we go out there to Chicago. And I go out there to Chicago for the National Association of Black Journalists Convention. And I'm a little nervous to bring out them sticks sometimes. But what builds my confidence up all the time is the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. Got to be grateful for that, man. I mean, you talk about a 2,000-square-foot indoor facility where you have three different hitting bays, ball flight technology. Also, you got video replay. So whatever is wrong with your swing, or maybe what's right with it, you can go over that directly after your practice swings with your coach. Or you can take it outside into the elements. You got a driving range. You know what I'm saying? You also got a putting green. All kinds of areas and activations for you to work on your game with some pros. Get better at the game of golf. Everywhere you look out here in South Florida is a nice, beautiful golf course to go out and conquer. And if you want to tune your golf game up the right way, make your appointments today. KaiserGolfCenter.com. KaiserGolfCenter.com. Right there at the flagship campus of Kaiser University in West Palm Beach. Yes, Ikeda, I feel good. I feel like we got something done today. I loved yesterday's show. We had a lot of fun, but today we got to the business and we did settle in on our top two for NFL quarterbacks, and we'll figure out the rest of the great eight. The great eight, which will be our eight top quarterbacks, a rotating list as we continue through the NFL season. It's a good feeling to have that done because I will say, I remember like a couple weeks ago you told me you were going to pay somebody to come out and take weeds out of your yard. Like,
yeah,
you didn't want to get out there and handle it yourself.
It's overgrown and it's just not fit for my hands. I can't do that.
No, yeah.
Not my specialty.
So the funny thing is, growing up, I used to pull the weeds all the time at my house. That was one of my chores. And now as a homeowner here in South Florida, you know, the first couple of summers, I was like, man, I got this. I'm doing it on my own. And it was hard. It is hot as heck outside. You're sweating bullets. You're pulling these weeds that feel like they're endlessly just popping back up as you pull some out. So I will say, CCAT, just like you were man enough to concede the number two quarterback debate, I was man enough to finally fold, and I'm paying somebody to come and get my yard right. So
it's no joke. You don't want back pain. I had shoulder impingement. Look it up, people. It's a real thing from holding the weed whacker. Now, it hurt.
Here's the thing, too, though, with your weed whacker situation. Did you ever get it fixed?
Yeah.
Did you ever get your weed whacker fixed? CCAT, who I guess this is your first time with a weed whacker.
Never had a yard. I never had a yard in the places I've lived. So a background story of it is, I thought I broke the weed whacker because like the whacker part, you know, what is it?
The string. I don't know what the technical.
Wire.
Yeah.
It broke. Because I went up against a tree that was a little bit too thick. Couldn't handle it. It broke.
Try to chop tree with your weed whacker.
Yeah. So I thought, Theo, damn, man, I broke my weed whacker. Those things are expensive, aren't they? Like $400 or $500. He goes, what happened to it? I told him what happened to it. He goes, you know, that's like the easiest thing to do ever.
Literally.
And yeah, it turns out I didn't even need to buy more wire. I just had to open it up and pull it out. So yeah, I went and finished the job on Sunday.
That is actually absolutely hilarious. And another demonstration just of how, I mean, our generation, I mean, if there wasn't for YouTube, I don't think we would know how to do anything. Change a tire.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean,
I still watch a video to tie a tie every time I have to wear one.
We are definitely less of men than the ones before us. But then again, we can always just blame it on them because they created us. What we created here on Theoretically Speaking is a very fun vehicle. They hit all the top headlines across the nation, sometimes across the globe, including today. I know you're just getting off work. You haven't had time to check out everything, so we did it for you, and we call that vehicle the Get Around.
I get around. What you mean you don't know?
Round and round, round and round.
I get around.
The Get Around today, brought to you by Discover the Palm Beaches. We'll get to that, but first, let's get to our first stop.
Next stop?
We're in Dallas, y'all. We learned at SEC Media Days that University of Texas opponents will not be penalized for horns down.
When? I was so sick of this, and for the past couple of years with these folks out of Austin who are crying and mad or acting like they're so offended that people ditch your little logo thing down. With the U, people do that all the time. With every other sports team, everything is fair game, but they thought they'd go into the SEC and get right. Now, I did have to run this thing by a Hall of Famer. I did have to try and figure out, get to the source of this. Why do people get so mad? Why do Longhorns fans get so mad at horns down? So, a guy that actually shares the same high school alumnus as me, Dulles High School, but also more so known for his game on the mound, Roger Clemens. UT alum Roger Clemens, here he is back in January letting me know why they do get offended when people do horns down.
What is so offensive about the horns down? Give the people the knowledge on this.
Well, you got to understand, when you do horns down, it just tells me that we're in your mind, you know. Horns are always up, but when you do horns down, we're still in your mind. You're still giving it to us. You just can't get away from us. So just keep doing it.
Absolute non-answer. Exactly why I think this is total crap from Texas fans, and I'm glad the SEC fought back. Clemens is like, oh, we're in your head. What?
Next stop.
Abu Dhabi. Team USA dominated Serbia in its third exhibition, 105-79. More importantly, however, Heat center Bam Adebayo knocked down three triples, earning a nickname for LeBron James, and it goes like this.
Slash brother.
Oh, my God.
The new Slash brother. Bam, bam, Slash right there.
Bam, bam, Splash. Now, this does excite me as a Heat fan because you always want your stars to go off to Team USA, develop more relationships. It was supposed to work as a recruiting pitch in the past, but we didn't get any of those guys. Thanks a lot, Damian Lillard. But also to develop their game and to show new things that they can bring back to the league. If Bam Adebayo comes back from this summer in Paris with a consistent three-point shot, I'm talking like mid-30%, able to stretch the floor, and then you see that rookie that you just drafted out of Indiana, Khalil Ware. Like, I know this is an abysmal Heat offseason. They're not going to be contenders coming into this year. But there's something about that squad and that maniacal man on the bench, Eric Spoelstra. If he has an evolved Bam Adebayo, a re-inspired Jimmy Butler, I mean, I'm starting to have hope again. This is why I said my relationship with the Heat as a Heat fan is toxic, C-Cat. And that same hope that you get, that optimism you get from Lamar Jackson and the Ravens during the regular season just to be let down, that's been me the past 3 or 4 years. And watching Bam splash it like that, bro, hope is back.
You can't take anything away from USA beating down these Serbians. There's no validity to anything we're seeing.
Serbia's
overseas.
Good. Serbia's good, but Bam is knocking down triples. I mean,
empty gym. A lot of bigs can do that, no? Like, you just cannot take anything away from these games. NBA fans, I beg of you, don't get your hopes up for any conversations. Don't get your hopes up for a guy developing a three-point shot. It's not happening. Watch the NBA games.
Oh, my gosh. This dude. Is this because we made you decide that your quarterback's number two in the league? I don't like the pessimism coming out of C-Cat right here.
Next stop.
Turns my frown upside down because we're going to Vegas.
Woo!
Davante Adams goes on Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharp. He sheds more light on whether or not he wants to reunite with Aaron Rodgers in New York.
Similar to why I came here and reunited with Derek was because I have familiarity with it, you know. And anytime you have that, it gives you a little bit more confidence than starting fresh with somebody that you never played with before.
Right.
And it helps that when they're the best to ever play the game, you know. Or at least that's how I feel. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's certainly how I feel.
Yes, he's clearly one of the best.
And he's given me an opportunity to, you know, show the world what I can do. And you know, having him to start out with, I'm sure, you know, that what we was talking about earlier about You know, people say, did Aaron create you or did this and that? No, but naturally, if you have a player that's a generational talent, you know,
it'll definitely help elevate you.
Exactly. And you looked at the next year when I wasn't there with him, it didn't look the same.
Raiders fans should be a little bit antsy hearing that out of Davante Adams. Not that they're competing for anything at large this year, but the fact that he is so openly talking about a potential reunion with Aaron Rodgers out there in New York. I would argue the Jets don't need Davante Adams. They got Davante Adams at home. No, you ask your mom, can we get some fast food? We got it at home. Garrett Wilson is the younger version and should be a number one receiver this year. He should be able to elevate into what Davante Adams was for Aaron Rodgers. And don't forget, they just went and got Mike Williams from the Chargers. That's not where they need more help, is another top dog alpha receiver that demands 10 targets a game. They just need Aaron Rodgers to be healthy and that offensive line to be able to protect him. And that defense is a sure thing. So I don't understand what all this hype is about outside of the fact that people just love talking Jets. And I think it's Mike Greenberg who's driving this narrative the most.
Kind of like it. Like, Garrett Wilson is the hamburger helper to Davante Adams is the McDonald's. Like,
yeah,
hey, you know the McDonald's, but hamburger helper is good.
It's right there.
We got it at home.
You can even season it the way you want to.
Just defrost the ground beef before I get home and we're all set.
Just a little bit more work. But all of the pleasure still right there with a guy like Garrett Wilson. That is your Baptist Health Orthopedic Care off-season football report. Davante Adams not necessarily shooting down the rumors of him going to New York, though his agent did say they don't want out of Vegas. It's a weird situation right there around Las Vegas and also New York. Is joint pain affecting your quality of life? At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. That was the get around. And yes, I do get it. It is, what, July 17th. We are running out of things to talk about. But there's an actual receiver that demanded a trade in Brandon Ayuk, who is on the loose looking for a new deal in a new scene. Davante Adams. I don't even think him going to the Jets moves the needle that much more in favor of them winning a Super Bowl. I don't think they'll do it, but I think it's more so about how good Rodgers can be and how he can develop that relationship with Garrett Wilson and make that offense something good. C-Cat, we do have an exciting thing because we had another episode of Hard Knocks that dropped last night. And it seems like the Giants are really being full of remorse right now. They're sad. But I'm going to tell you on the other side as we take you home, while the Giants will definitely not regret letting loose of Saquon Barkley. Theoretically speaking, on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Shout out Roosevelt Elementary. That school, or the team from that squad, won the 13th annual Kids Fit Jamathon put on by Digital Vibes, Inc. I was there this morning at the Expo Center watching the kids go after it, boogie down. I mean, they don't know nothing about this Luther right here, but I'm sure you put that on, they would have found a little TikTok dance to do to it as well. Just a big shout to them on their win, and also a great show by everybody involved. But that's why I love Palm Beach County. Like, it doesn't matter what day it is or what's going on. Even in the off season of the summer, they say off season, but it's not really, right? Because there's always a reason to hashtag love the Palm Beaches. And if you hashtag love the Palm Beaches on Twitter, on Instagram, any of your favorite social media platforms, posting a picture of yourself at your favorite location in Palm Beach County. Maybe it's your favorite restaurant. Maybe it's a field you used to play sports at that holds some nostalgia. Take a picture or video there, put hashtag love the Palm Beaches, and you could win some amazing prizes from Discover the Palm Beaches all summer long. Also, go online at lovethepalmbeaches.com/love. That's where you can fill out a form to make yourself eligible. I'm talking vacations. I'm talking dining cards and everything. And all you got to do is just hashtag love the Palm Beaches and let folks outside know how great it is to live here in paradise. It is also great to be able to watch another team be just picked apart and dissected on Hard Knocks, especially when it's not your squad. And I've been loving this offseason edition of Hard Knocks on HBO with the Giants. Last night's episode was focused around the departure of Saquon Barkley to the Philadelphia Eagles. And from that show, we got a little insight as to how the owner of the Giants, John Mara, feels about potentially losing his guy.
I have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that, as I've told you, just being up. I've been around enough players, so, but he's the most popular player we have by far.
Yeah.
What Mara just said right there tells me everything I need to know about this decision. I think the New York Giants made the right call. I know it hurts a little bit because Saquon went to a divisional rival in the Eagles and a team that might use him to contend for a championship this year. I know it hurts because he was quote-unquote popular, which, again, is such an owner answer, right? But he got out of the way and let the football guys make a football decision. And if there's one guy whose Q rating is raising every single episode in my book, it's general manager Joe Shane for the Giants, who's been seeming to make sound decisions. I love the trade he made for Brian Burns, fleecing Dan Morgan and the Carolina Panthers, and I also love the savviness to not be held up on nostalgia. You don't want to end up like the Rams were in 2018. I mean, that contract to Todd Gurley, what was it again? 4 years, $57 million, and Gurley only played one more year for the Rams? You don't want to end up like that, holding on to nostalgia. CK, what do you think about them letting Barkley go, but also in the division?
As a Penn Stater, and I like the Giants, are my second favorite team. It's a damage that had to be done, right? I wanted the best for Saquon, wanted the best for the Giants. They had to part ways.
It happened that way for a reason. Be thankful, Giants fans. You're moving in the right direction. Now you just got to get rid of your quarterback. And I hit the wrong button. Time to take you home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. And I take you home with this on a hump day. I would rather regret things I did than things I didn't. As the Giants seem to a bit regret that decision to let Saquon walk, don't you be so fearful in your life. Take a risk, at least a good one, not a weird one. Stay chill. Go in love, go in peace, go in joy. ESPN 106.3 continues.